You are listening to. First Gen Teachers Lens.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the First Gen Teacher Lens. Been gone for a minute, now I'm back. And this episode's going to be another sound off episode, a little short, sweet episode about creating spaces for your cultural identity. This episode came about because I was watching TikTok and this fellow Latinx TikToker was talking about how he felt in higher ed and how he had to kind of cultivate his own cultural space. And I had similar sentiment, so I'm going to discuss that in this episode. Stay tuned. Peace.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. You can find out more at teachbetter.com/podcasts. Now let's get back to the episode.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the First Gen Teacher Lens podcast. And I just want to apologize, you know, I've been out, but due to personal reasons, looking for a home is an arduous process, and yeah, it's still dealing with that, but you know, perks of growing up, if you will. But in this episode, I'm going to talk about creating a cultural identity space when you feel there isn't one. And you know, that has happened to me. Either in more so undergrad, when I was in undergrad, but to contextualize where I got this idea from, scrolling through TikTok mindlessly one of these days while I was just waiting to go over some paperwork with my real estate agent, just mindlessly wasting time just to kill time, for lack of better words. And basically what happened was that I followed this other Latinx, I want to say TikToker, and he was talking about, you know, how he felt a bit of, not ostracized, but like kind of closed off in terms of his culture while in undergrad. And he basically, in the, I want to say like 2 minute video, maybe 3 minute video, talked about like how in those times we should navigate those spaces. By navigating is like, if you don't see your culture, connect with people that have similar cultures or are quote-unquote allies that can, like, you know, help you manifest that in your, in that space, so you can have your own, like, you know, safety in that space. Because if you don't, you're just gonna feel like super uncomfortable, and that's what he was professing in the video. He felt so uncomfortable in his educational experience that he was just like, no wonder why a lot of Latinx students feel, and like, you know, POC students feel a certain type of way when they go into higher academia. Like, they might be maybe in the only one in the classroom, or in, you know, in that chosen field or whatever, for the lack of better words, in terms of like, there's less of us in terms of like, you know, the whole POC community being in those spaces. Right. So I kind of made me reflect, and like, I was like, did I feel that way when I was an undergrad? Yes. Statistically speaking, the school was, I want to say, upwards to 70% white. Next, I want to say race, ethnicity was Asian. And then on the bottom tier was Black and Latinx. And the culture was within this program. If you haven't heard of it, I mentioned in an earlier episode, go check that one out. I forgot blanking which one it is, but like, you know, just scroll through the episode catalog. I'm pretty sure I brought it up. I think it was with Dr. Bradley Conrad. But anyway, it was called the AOP program, And that program is for students who've had educational strife, and also like financial strife that stunted their educational growth. And a lot of those students were of, I want to say, marginalized groups and, you know, more urban areas like myself in New York City. And basically that was a culture group, and that was our safe haven in the educational setting, because in what I noticed there was like kids were way more, I want to say, prepared in terms of like the rigor of actual college. And not only that, like I just didn't understand them as not as like in terms of my niche of within my culture, like there was so much ambiguity. And what I found was like I connected with people who were either surrounded by Latinx folks, or when they arrived at that, in that group setting, they just, due to their, you know, upbringing and being of a marginalized group, they were more understanding in terms of like where culture similarities happen to happen. And when I made those connections, I started to feel, all right, I'm here. Maybe I do feel uncomfortable in like overall the surroundings. However, I got a sense of comfort from this safety net that I created. So connected with friends, connected with cultural groups. In my school in undergrad, we had, you know, a Latino Student Association. There was also the Black Student Association. And, you know, in those groups, you felt a certain camaraderie because they talked about issues that were going on in the college and issues of that there was going on individually in terms of like classrooms, whenever they felt that issues that were important and viable to them were being spoken about, they weren't taken as seriously or as lightly. But now, even in this digital space where I'm, you know, the whole niche of the podcast is to create a safe space, not just for teachers, but also the, I have a duality of like creating a space for fellow Latinx teachers and fellow first generation teachers and POC teachers, right? Where, you know, we do talk about these issues. We do, like I talked with Clevery Beverly, how can we get better in terms of like, you know, really understanding our students. And that comes from creating these spaces, understanding the individual, where they come from, their upbringing, and building that rapport, right? So I definitely felt emotionally attached to that TikToker video where he was just like really in his feels, I guess as my students say, because oftentimes it's unfortunate that certain students don't have that safety net in, you know, higher ed, or maybe even in their own local environment. Maybe their family is one of few Latinx families in that neighborhood, and they feel kind of isolated, right? And that applies to the classroom, right? So in order to create our own cultural identity, or create spaces for your cultural identity, we must, A, you know, stick to our roots. What do we know? What makes us feel a sense of comfort that we bring, you know, from our culture? For me, when I was in undergrad, definitely food. Food was a huge thing. And the food in undergrad was super not what I was used to, you know. I was used to having, you know, primarily Latino food, where it was just sporadic in where I was at in college. And what I did was, in order to connect with my roots, I asked my friends who were more so locals from that area, hey, is there a space or a restaurant where we can just like, you know, get authentic food? And they're like, yeah, it's this spot. And I went with a few of them, and then that's how I created my own space, my own little hole, where it was just, it felt right, and I felt good. I know that's a lackluster word, but I felt whole, where I was just like, all right, I don't feel as isolated as I once was when I didn't have these tangible things, places, people that I didn't have. I didn't make those connections at first, and that's why I need to expand my willingness to connect with people and really build that space, because it was lackluster in that school setting. Now transition, and like, I never thought in a million years being in New York City, I thought I would say this, but like, even in the workplace, where it was the one of my first jobs, like after grad school, after undergrad, the manager was of, you know, a different culture. And like, it felt like there was like a hierarchy, you know, manager, superior position, authority. And like me, as like one of the, I want to say other teaching fellows, subordinate, not in a sense like belittling or anything like that. But in the sense of like, just, you know, the fact of like the positions that we were in and that we were given. Right. But in that same vein, like, there was a culture that was absent of my own, and I had to create that. So what I did was, in the organization, there were a few other Latinx teachers, even in within the school itself as well, there are a few Latinx teachers, which I, you know, develop rapport with. And also, like, even one, he was amazing. I believe he's more than tenured, or he has tenure, but like, he has so many years in the DOE, and really develop a relationship with him where, all right, even though we're both of different cultures, we create a safe space so we understand each other. And not only that, we use our own ideas of understanding each other's cultural identity to benefit the kids, right? So he, as a hetero white male, was just like, you know, I get where you're coming from. We talked about DACA, and we made it into a lesson where it's like apparent issues that like these immigrants who are so close to me, my family, where, you know, I have loved ones that aren't legal, and right, we talked about that issue and how important is that issue. So creating that space, not only for me to express my own personal dealings with, you know, DACA and TPS and other issues of immigrant rights, but for other students to open up their own personal connections and their own kind of vices and personal thoughts within that conversation. That's how you create a space for your own cultural identity, where it talks about these issues that are going on with, whether it be the Latinx community. I know right now I'm talking about primarily the Latinx community, but it allows you to navigate an open, fluid dialogue that is creating a safe space for you. And also, ultimately, you know, it strikes a chord within your classroom, because what I saw from that lesson was kids were right, I want to say, connecting with what I was saying. They were zoned in, and that's what you want, because like, at the, you know, you can teach a short story, which is great, but that lesson showed that like, those interpersonal connections are priceless, right? And it really took, like I was saying before, that mutual understanding to kind of flush out any, not misconceptions, but any misunderstandings that and unclarity that there was before. But that's what I wanted to talk about this episode, is if you don't see your cultural identity in the spaces that you're in, manifest it. And manifest it, to me, when I was in undergrad was like, I'm by myself, which is untrue. There are so many applications. Clubhouse is a new application where I created, there's the space for Latinx and other secular cultural identities. And like, shout out to the Amigos group on Clubhouse, because like, you know, we make great jokes here and there, but we do talk about issues that are pertaining to the Latinx community. For example, we talked about one about anti-bullying and how that seeps into Latinx cultural ideals, right? Which is going to be another episode later on. But allow yourself to not feel alone by connecting with other people. Maybe just go to a cultural club. Seek out information from, like, you know, wherever you're working at, like, hey, are there Latinx teachers in the building? How can I connect with them to make myself feel that this space is my own? But honestly, don't feel alone, because do not be afraid to reach out to people. That's one of the main things that I learned in my short educational career, is if you want to create these safety net spaces for cultural identity or, you know, other facets of identity, that there are people out there that will want to engage in these fluid conversations with you. And it's important and vital that you do so, because that transitions into having a better classroom. And that's my episode. Stay tuned for the other episode on First Gen Teacher Lens. Peace.
Thank you for having listened to the First Gen Teacher's Lens. We'll see you here next time.